Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I'm going to get started with Mesa.
There's nothing better than love.
I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed the night and almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say she's still in love and no one can take her love away.
Ooh, love wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time I hear him say he's still in love and no one can take his love away.
I wanna be loved. There's nothing better than love. What in the world could you ever be thinking of? It's better by far. So let yourself reach for that star and go no matter how far to the one you love, to love.
And I mean all these words I say, and you don't have to guess what's going on inside my head.
Try to know all the things that our hearts say. Listen to love and always get love to lead the way. I wanna be loved.
There's nothing better than love. What in the world could you ever be thinking of? It's better by far. Reach for that star and go no matter how far to the one you love.
For your love,
and for your love,
I would
to just spend all my time with someone who makes me feel his love is mine.
Someone
you see,
who would only dream of me,
dream of me.
Is he being in love just 'cause she wanna be? That I am God. Breathe.
Jesus. Breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Yes, Father, Mother God, we give thanks for what is in this right now, Mother God. We thank you for new heights. We thank you for new levels. We thank you for new cars. Thank you right now, God. Thank you for new homes right now, God. Thank you for new multi-million dollar books that are written, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for new opportunities to share our gifts with the world and monetize it, Father, Mother God. Thank you for our relationship with money, God. Thank you for our self-image and our self-worth and loving the gift that we are to the planet, Father, Mother God. Thank you in this right now moment for all that we are because you are in us, as us, all around. In this right now moment, we say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. And so it is. Whew. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, family. You are tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with a song, and then we're going to move on to what we're going to talk about today is our self-image. Our self-image versus our self-worth. And I read something really interesting that I'm going to read to you that's going to really be an interesting thought pattern. And I want us to think about that today and how we move through life. And this is Roy Ayers right here on The Love Journey. Everybody loves the sunshine. Sunshine.
And the brother told me he was going to go to the sun. I said, brother, if you go to the sun, you're going to burn up. He said, no, when I go to the sun, I'm going to go at night. I said, yeah, right. The brother's tripping.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine Ann Ingram, and I am your daddy love, and that was Roy Ayers and Erica Badu. Everybody loves the sunshine. We're going to get started with our self-esteem, survival, self-worth. We're going to talk about money, but in a different perspective. And I wanted to tell you some things that I read in the book, and I want to have a conversation about it and think about it, toss and turn it in our minds and see how this may be a revelation for us, or maybe this may not be a revelation. You may already know or you may not agree. But I thought it was an interesting topic because so many of us are learning to have a different relationship with our money, right? And so I've been in meditation and prayer. How can I shift the energy of our people so that not only will we be financially free, but financially significant? You know, some of you all already know that. As the goal of mine is to help each and every one of us to become financially significant. And what's the difference between financially free and significant? Financially free is mean that you're able to do what you need to do for yourself and not have a concern about money. But significant means that you can bless your community, those around you, and help others by being significantly financially in a position to assist others. So I saw this and I wanted to share this with you. The first thing I want to throw this sentence out to you, and I want you to think about it. You will never, cannot, and never be able to make money when you are energetically in survival. Survival. And I wanted to really harness that because I read this in a book, and it's called The Black Woman Millionaire by Dr. Venus Opal. And I wanted to think about that. I want us to think about that. Are we in energetic survival? She said it's extremely hard to make money when you need it, and you cannot make money when you are angry. She said your survival will become death pale, all the goodness that is your divine right, no matter how hard you work. So if you are serious about becoming part of that 2% of women in business of all races who ever break the $1 million mark, you need to focus your attention and intentions on tending to your survival. I want you to think about that. How many of us in thrive mode and how many of us are in survival mode? And I had to think about, was I in survival mode? She said something that was, here's a big revelation that we were taught, that we were never taught, I mean, about money. That money is a heart condition. Well, I told you that a long time ago. We know that money is a heart condition. We think of this way. Money is energy. It's currency. And in order for currency to flow, it needs a conduit to manifest in material form. Just as electricity needs a conduit to transmit light into your living room, energy needs a conduit to manifest money in your bank account. And this conduit is your heart. So when you are dwelling in negativity, harboring anger, resentment, jealousy, regret, and all the low vibrational tones, you are energetically blocking your blessings. When you are in survival mode, you could be doing all the right actions in all the wrong energetic while wondering what's wrong, right? She said, there's nothing absolutely wrong with you, baby girl. We have been positioned as a workhorse, a cash cow, beast of burden, and the scapegoat for other people's dreams. Positioned at the bottom of the socioeconomic value system. So we put ourselves at the bottom of our lives. I want you to think about that. We put ourselves at the bottom of our lives. We function in a state of low-level survival as a way of moving through the world. Are we putting ourselves last on our list still, even though we've talked about this a lot on the Love Journey? So the key, she says, to harnessing your survival is healing your heart of historical, cultural, society, and personal wounds that keep you undercharging, hiding in plain sight, slaving at a job you hate, playing small and living a mediocre life. So all this sounds good, but it's the healing part that we have to do. And so today, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about that I saw in here that was really interesting is our self-worth. Our self-esteem versus our self-worth. It's really interesting because she asked these questions. Are we hardworking? And most people would say, absolutely, right? She asks us, are we trustworthy, right? Absolutely. And she even asked the question about, are we independent? Are we strong? Are we nice? Are we a go-getter? And I would have said, I'm a go-getter. And I used to sing the song. Dependable, hardworking, reliable, trustworthy, loyal, guardful. She said, sweet. You just sentenced yourself to a life of hard work, struggle, and self-sacrifice. Each and every one of those words listed above is a self-image. It's who you are for yourself. In fact, it's so who you are that if someone said you weren't, you would be ready to. She says your self-image is how you see yourself. It's who you are for yourself. It's not the roles you play or the mask you wear. It's what makes you choose the roles in the mask. It's that with which you so identify your sense of self that you would trash your relationships, choke when it comes to taking action on your dreams, and do things that directly undermine your money. Your self-image was created in a moment of crisis when life broke your heart. Yep. She said, your self-image was created the moment when life broke your heart. It was formulated based on what you saw your mama, your daddy do, or the equivalent in your life, or the exact opposite of what you saw in your environment when you were growing up. But here's the rub. Your self-image has worked for you. It has saved your butt on many days. It actually worked. Think about how many times you've been appreciated for being so nice, or acknowledged for peers or leaders when your hard work has saved your company millions of dollars. Now let yourself feel the warmth in your chest, remembering when your children gave you a birthday card, they said you are the world's greatest mom. You may want to cry right now, just remembering how much you were appreciated and just how loved you felt in that moment. But if we start to add up all we had to do to get those moments, working late, getting up early, dropping out of college, sacrificing our career to be good wives or great mothers, incurring debt to help our moms out, going it alone, working three jobs instead of asking for help, you begin to see the cost of your own self-image. You see, you will never out-earn your self-image, even if it's a positive, because your self-image is rooted in survival. Here go that survival again. Survival can only operate in a condition of crisis. The moment your self-image is threatened, your survival strategies kick in and start doing you in overdrive. It's like if it's a mother thinking someone has violated her baby, even if it's not true, her self-image as a mother kicks in and she breaks for some moms. When they find out their child has been hurt, they know who did it. They black out, wake up bloody, and someone is lying in chalk on the sidewalk. You know what I mean? You know, we'll do anything for our children. We'll turn 300 flips, but we do that for ourselves. She said, we always acting out of crisis mode. See, your relationship with yourself determines your destiny. It will determine how much money you will attract and the ease with which you will receive it. This one relationship will determine how you run your business, how you impact the important people in your life. It drastically shapes your love life and even your dress size. How much is your relationship with yourself costing you? Your net worth is directly connected to your self-worth. She said your actions are a direct correlate of who you are for yourself. So she said the way we determine our self-worth is to reason it out backwards. The way you discern your self-worth blueprint is to reason it out backwards. Say, how do you see yourself? how life feels and appears as if in your survival strategy. Example, second rate, have something to prove, being defensive, aggressive talk. She said, state a moment or incident when life broke your heart. Life broke my heart moment. Mama cut my hair off. And think about these things. And when life broke your heart, what did you decide about yourself and others in life? Mine was when my mom didn't show up for my birthday. And I decided that I wasn't good enough. And I decided that I wasn't important. And I decided that no one loved me and no one cared about me. And that became the basis of my own self-image, my own survival techniques. What did you decide about others in your life? And I also decided that I was alone and that I had to do things by myself. And then she said, what would you say to yourself when you fail, when you miss the mark, when you feel threatened or betrayed? Do you call yourself names? Who's going to believe me? I'm nobody. Nobody wants me. I don't deserve it. I'm a piece of blah, 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 blah. What are you saying to yourself? Ask yourself this question. What kind of person could even think that thought? I'm stupid. People are against me. Life is dangerous. I'm a piece of blah, blah, blah. Somebody who has no value, no say, no power. Someone who's worth it. Nobody cares. So how do you see yourself? And this has a lot to do with how you navigate through life. My self-worth blueprint equals what? My self-worth blueprint is I am, blah, blah, whatever you're saying to yourself. Now, what actions can we take in your self-worth blueprint? Now, help your brain connect. How has this decision has impacted your life, your performance, and your business? And list all the actions you've taken that correlate to your self-worth. To ask ourselves, our gift is located in our pain, where life broke our heart. That's why it's so important for us to use that information so that we can prepare ourselves to a better place. And we got to move away from our self-esteem and get into our self-worth. Because a lot of times we get caught up in what we feel. What would you pay based on how you feel about yourself, rooted in your past experience? But what would others handsomely and gladly pay based on the inherent value and intrinsic worth that you naturally bring? There's a difference. See, self-esteem is based on a psychological term. Self-esteem, I define self-esteem as an internal evaluation of oneself based on one's feelings, thoughts, and even lived experience. But self-worth is based on the internal evaluation. It's rooted in valuation. Valuation is a financial term. It simply means an external assessment of an asset to a community, group, or market. So it doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. It doesn't matter what your past experiences are, because it's the value that you bring just by you being you. You are an asset. All of your lived experience, all of your processes that you've been through, it's not about how you feel. It's about how much you're worth, even if you feel all of that stuff about what you went through. That is a powerful game of processes and everything that you've been through is so powerful and so important to the scheme of life that somebody is waiting to hear your story. And it's rooted in your skills, your gifts, and talents that sometimes we get caught up in the pain, though, because we're so busy caught up in believing that we got to work hard. And I want to tell you right now, even though I have a degree and even though I have certificates, it's not your credentials or your certifications. You have something very special that you've never identified, that let alone can monetize, because as a person that you are, you've been, especially women and especially black women, we've been socially rewarded for working hard. So you rely on your skills, your brains, your beauty, or your personality to make money, and it has worked, but it will not make you a millionaire. She said, why? Because every way you know how to make money is rooted in survival. Your survival strategy, right down to the possessions you have chosen, that school you attended, the car you drive, and even the clothes you wear, are the basis of your self-esteem money. Self-worth money has nothing to do with you. You will not locate your million-dollar moneymaker in your skill set, your gifts, or your academic accomplishments. She said it is located in the last place you will look. Your million-dollar moneymaker is not located in your fame or your brain. It's located in your pain, where life broke your heart. I said, wow. Well, life broke my heart. Where did life break your heart? And what did it teach you? She said, what was the blessing that came out of it that never would have happened otherwise? When life broke my heart, I decided about myself. Wow. And so I wanted us to think about that. I wanted us to think about today how to release ourselves from the survival mode. How can we get past the idea of survival? But not to the point where we think of it as bad or judge it, but to use it to inspire us. Yes. Some of us, she said, still have a relationship with money from slavery. She said, when your body has been sold for money, not all of us, if we got any blood of African American, we've been sold for money. She said, and it's impossible to have an empowering relationship with it. Slavery was a business, plain and simple, just like the prison industry complex. It's big business now by villainizing primarily black bodies. She said, check out The 13th by Ava DuVernay on Netflix. She said it was a business. Our bodies were the capital. She said, I'm not talking about cotton, cane, or tobacco. I'm talking about the tender you touch that stands in for money. I'm speaking about our relationship to money due to the institutional slavery. She said money became the enemy. Money has been the reason our bodies have been pimped, our men killed, and our babies sold. Look in your own life and you will see that you have an adversarial relationship with money. She said if money were a white man with limitless power to take your life, break up your family, and make you crawl, you would hate him. You will plot ways to avoid him, hide from him, kill him, placate him, or just acquiesce to him. So the reason your money hasn't been able to multiply is that you've been focusing on getting more money instead of healing your relationship with money. Let me say that again. She said, and I wanted to bring that out. She said, we've been focusing on getting more money instead of healing our relationship with money. As long as money is the enemy, this is some things to think about. We don't have to agree with it, but just something to think about. She said, as long as money is the enemy, we will live it and
fear, just like our ancestors did. Whenever Master came around, healing requires you to confront fear. It requires you to look your jailer, your enemy, your abuser, your adversary, your tormentor, your pimp in the eye and say no more. Healing requires you to be brave instead of having courage. Having courage is being afraid and taking the action. Being brave is different. When one is being brave, you know you're about to walk into some stuff where a storm exists, where there's a very real possibility that you might lose your life, your job, your relationship, etc. But you go anyway. Why? Because you have a bigger commitment to being free than to living on your knees. Indeed, and I wanted to read that to us. And then it becomes perpetuated through our family. Years and years and years, the way we think about money. What was your family's thoughts about money when you were growing up? Because, you know, sales have memories. So we transport memory through the cells when we transport and we have babies. So our thoughts, our ancestors' memories are in our cells of what they thought about money. That's why I'm always working to give us a forgiveness, to release, to cleanse, and to clear. Because money became a cycle in the family. That's why the rich get richer. Because when you're in a family lineage that's been rich, the cells pass through richness and thought processes that are in the cells. And even though what we think and what we speak is important, what's most important is what we feel has been embedded into the cells of our memory. And it's transported from mother to mother to mother to mother, from family member to family member throughout the lineage until somebody says, I'm going to be the game changer. I'm going to shift the way my cells remember money or whatever you want to shift in your family lineage. And so I wanted to read a couple of things from this book so that we can start thinking about what is our biggest fear? Why are we still living in survival mode after all the work we've been doing to really change our relationship with money? And money is a heart condition. And once we shift our heart, money will begin to flow into our lives. And I had to forgive myself for a lot of things that I did as a child. Allow myself to forgive myself for things I did as an adult, for allowing others' needs to come before mine. I need to forgive myself for thinking I had to work hard for money. I had to forgive my life for not showing me the way earlier. I've been reading books about money for a long time and even have attracted money. But I realized that because of my relationship to money, I never kept money. Manifest millions of dollars and manifest it right back out of my hand. Why? Because I needed to heal my relationship with money. Money is a heart condition. And what I had to ask myself, what is in my heart that had to be changed in order for me to receive? And be a great receiver to heal my heart. And I had to really sit with money and ask money, what can I do to develop a better, greater, blessed relationship with my money, my energy? Because money is just another form of God's energy, God's love. How can I honor the presence of myself and love myself deeper to the soul essence that I will be right in the flow? So I wanted us to think about some of that. Because this is my goal for us. I want us to tap within the God within us. I want us to come face to face with our own magnificence. I want us to realize we and embrace that we are not our wounds. We are the answer to millions of people's prayers, and our life has prepared us for such a time as this. I want us to unpack that pain, the pain that is inside of us, the pain that causes us from living that big life that we deserve to live, because we have been taught from a long time ago, historically and ancestrally, and conditioned to believe anything and everything other than the truth. And as black women, we've been taught that money is tangible objects, just like our bodies, our breasts, our back, and our wounds have been treated like objects. Let me make it plain. Historically, we've been treated like objects. So we relate to money like we've been relating to something to be used, ignored, trashed, and pimped, extorted, plundered and tarnished. In street language, we treat money the way we've been treated, like a punk. And when we start to realize that money is actually God, spirit, currency, energy made manifest, we start to honor our money. But more importantly, when we realize that we, I'm going to say it because some people get a little nervous when we say this, that we are God. We are spirit, we are currency, we are energy made manifest. Then we'll start to honor ourselves as a demonstration of the abundance of spirit made real in our life. Our world will transform when we shift from relating to something that we could see to a phenomenon that we could feel in our heart and our body coursing through our veins. And when we focus on shifting our relationship first to ourselves, then we can begin to create a clear channel for money to show up in our lives and in our heart. You can't access spirit and all the goodness that is your divine right by making emotional, energetic space. If your heart is clogged up like a toilet, unclog our heart. And once we learn to unclog our heart, now we can deal with the actions we have attributed to making money. And we won't have to be a slave to money. We won't have to make decisions because of money. And that's my wish for all of us today. I want us to become allowers of money, flowing money, and not have to make money. Because money really is about the exchange of energy. I want you to think of it as currency, like water and electricity. Money is fluid. It moves and conforms to the various conduits required to channel currency into material form. So we really want to transform our entire relationship to money from effort to energy. We're going to have to access our own conduit. And because of our singular experience of being descendants of enslaved women, the conduit you're going to have to access is your heart, because money is energy and not effort. You need a clear channel to have money show up in material form in our bank account, just like wires that run through the walls. And when you flip the switch to your living room, the space is illuminated. Your heart has to be clear so that the spirit can move through you to manifest our dreams. Money cannot manifest through a congested heart. And the reason money cannot manifest through a congested heart is because you have turned against you in your heart of hearts. You blame yourself for all the bad things that happened to you. You have put yourself in an emotional prison or an energetic chain gang for crimes done to you or that you have done that you regret, resent, or are ashamed of. So if you want to shift from effort to energy, you have to become as emotionally attentive to yourself as you would a lover. I'm going to say that again. You have to become so emotionally attentive to yourself as you would a lover. Instead of stuffing it or working on top of your hurts, you need to pinpoint them as soon as you feel disempowered so you can tend to your hurt heart. God's conduit to show up in your life as your dreams manifest is through your heart. Let me say that again. God's conduit, the way God shows up in our life as our dreams manifest, is through our heart. So you have to heal a broken heart, which shows up in our money as being broke, so you can receive your culture and divine inheritance. So let's go within, tap in, and heal. Let the healing begin. We got to do this healing. What are we so agitated about right now? What is keeping us pissed and angry and annoyed? Or well, some of us are numb. Some of us are detached. Some of us feel bored. But whatever your emotion is, we got to heal those emotions. How many of us are still overgiven, overcommitted, overprepared? And the more useful we become, the more used we get used up. In our jobs, in our friendships. So when I say, let's unpack and hear our heart. What I'm truly pointing to you is being authentic about how your survival strategies are running your show. When you are hurt, your survival takes over to protect you. If one of your wounds is, I'm throw away, nobody wants me, then your survival strategy and the behavior that serves as the fix it to the wound will be to make yourself indispensable at all costs. So you have to go to the source of the behaviors and drill down to what is really driving you. What is really driving you? What survival strategy is running you right now, your memory, your money, the most? What are the ways you do stuff for free right now? It's time for us to do our work, family. And today, I just want us to really think about how to change our value and how we see ourselves. How much are you worth to yourself is a thought. So right now, these are the things I want you to think about. How can we heal our heart? How can we heal our heart right now? And so I'm going to give you this word today. Surrender again. What are we emotionally attached to survival? How are we still emotionally attached to survival? Why are we still in survival mode? So today I want you to surrender, because surrender is humbling and it's saying to spirit, I am no longer dependent on my will, my thoughts, but I'm giving up my idea of attachment of how I thought this was going to look. And I trust you, oh Lord. And I trust you, oh Lord, to work through me right now, Father, Mother God. I am your hands and I am your feet, Father, Mother God. Use me, Lord. Release me from myself, because let me tell you, just like we talked about money as a conduit, God only works through us. And no matter how much we go to a church, no matter how much we read the Bible, no matter how we talk and do this, if we're not a conduit for the God to use us, then we're going to stay stuck, because God can do no more for us than God can do through us. And where are you not allowing God to work through you? Where are you getting in your way? So what I'm going to say today is just surrender and allow the Spirit to move through the cells, to cleanse and renew yourself. Ask the Spirit to move through your heart, to cleanse your heart. Oh, Father, Mother, God, remove the veils and the conditioning that has kept us from living a true, abundant life, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and remove every data, every information, all the patterns and all the information that has been stored in our cells. Cleanse and renew us right now, God. Renew every cell in our body right now. Let it return to its highest vibratory expression. Holy Spirit, bless and remove every living system in our being that is not operating in its true form, Holy Spirit. Remove in our thoughts any data, any information, any patterns, any behavior that is no longer serving our highest good. And come, Holy Spirit, and give us a clean heart. And renew the right spirit, that we may be the conduit that you use to show up on this planet, oh God. That we may be used by you right now for a greater purpose than ourselves right now, God. That we will magnetize all of our good, God. And we will no longer have to work in survival, but we can act in a thriving mold. Not in crisis, but in thriving. And so today, Holy Spirit, I ask that you bless each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. That you will bless their thoughts. You will bless their heart, God. You will bless their words, and every cell in their body will be shifted in this knowing that we surrender to the presence and the power of the divine presence of you, God. In the mighty name, nature, and consciousness of love, return this prayer, knowing that it will not return void. That we will be so blessed, God, that even the blessed will call us blessed. Thank you, God. And so it is. Any questions, comments, or concerns, press star 6. If you're on teleconference line, if you're on the blog talk line, just press 1. All right. Well, I thank you today.
Good morning.
It's Gardenia.
Hello.
Hey, Gardenia.
I just want to comment on, it's a part of their morning conversation. I work for a company, and I remember my boss saying, "Give me, you're too nice." And I thought, I mean, I was really like, oh, my God, I got to start talking mean to people. And I went home, and it just really bothered me. I mean, I was kind of waking up at night a little bit about it. Then I thought about it. I'm thinking, my compliments of being nice and kind, no matter when even I had to say some maybe things that weren't so positive to a person. But that's part of my DNA, and to hear that, to reinforce that today really felt good, because being kind is not a job. If that's your DNA, it's your DNA, and nobody should never tell you to change a positive image of yourself. So just wanted to put my little, I just thought about that. I remember it was like two people, I think the VP and my manager, like, you got to get meaner. You're too kind. I mean, who says that to someone? I think from hearing your lesson today, I'm going to reinforce, whoever you are, be the best you can. That's your DNA. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Any more questions, comments, or concerns? If you're on Blog Talk, press 1. And if you're on teleconference, star 6. All right. Thank you so much, Gardenia. And listening to someone say that you're too nice, but maybe it's not about not being nice, Well, are you sacrificing? Just want to think about, are you sacrificing yourself to be nice? And I want you to think about that, because that's what she was talking about in the book today. Are we being true to ourselves? There's nothing wrong with being nice if you're being true to yourself. But remember, being true to yourself is important, and sometimes we have to step on people's feelings because we're going to be true to ourselves. I'm going to say no to you because no means saying yes to me. And sometimes we don't know how to say no. So I just want to make sure that we think about that as we move through this journey of shifting our consciousness and getting out of survival mode and moving into thriving mode and really understanding our own self-image. No is going to have to be a word that we have to learn to say when it's important to our development. Not overcommitting ourselves, not undercommitting ourselves, but to say to ourselves, is this something I really want to do? And if not, no. Is this really going to add to the mission of what I want to, the direction I want to go? It's okay to say no. And that's the word we're going to have to learn how to say. And you don't have to say it meanly. It's nothing wrong with being politely no. It's just no. And so I just want to make sure that we understand that it's important that we really do this work if we want to shift and change our relationship to our own self-image, our own money, and really develop our gifts and talents and share it with the world. It's our time, family. It's our time. All right, family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey this morning. Thank you for being you, because your life is a gift, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love, family, because love really is the only choice. And today, family, I want to remind you not to just dream, but to live your God-sized dream. Let's get out of survival mode, family, and let's get into thriving. Let's cleanse, renew, and reset our energy to money. Oh Lord, give us a clean heart. Because it was so powerful when I read that money is not to be made and hard. It's supposed to be easy. And so it's so important that we move it out of our hardness and realize that money should be easy to attract. Money should be easy to attract. Money is a heart condition, she said. All right, family, I just want to remind you today, do the work. Let's let the healing begin and let the money flow in. Come on, family. Let the money flow in. This is an affirmation song that was made just for the love journey. This is Trey. Remember when we first started, God was the source of our unlimited supply? That's what this is, family. I want you to have a great, wonderful, amazing day. You tuned in to the love journey, your love experience with Janina and Ingram. I am your daily lover. And remember, source is God.
Come in due time. see, I never seen a righteous forsaken or faithful for God. A good shepherd gonna take care of his flock. So if your father made you and you say you believe, then you know that he gonna take care of your needs. I say that God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everything.